The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Philippians chapter 2. Let's read that passage together, beginning with verse 5. He said, "Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, of being made in the likeness of a man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And for this reason, also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee would bow, of those who are in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Father, we saw the little clip in the video this morning which says that only those who really recognize the Jesus can have their needs met. We pray this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture and have to understand that he is the only one who can meet our need. Whether it's a need of salvation or a need to get us through difficulties in our life or whatever, we can trust him. Father, open our minds and our hearts to be able to receive him and to surrender to him as Lord in our lives and in our hearts. We pray that we'll be aware of your presence this place this morning, and that you will speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself, and that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name. Man went to the psychiatrist, and he said to him, "I'm having trouble, and I don't really understand why, yet I do know why." He said, "I have a lovely wife, two children, good job, making good living, own home, a nice home." But he said, "I've got my life messed up. Got involved with another woman. Looks like my marriage has ended. Misused my money. I've been betting too much at the track, and I've borrowed, and I've spent too much on the bar on the way home, and I'm afraid I'm becoming an alcoholic, and I thought maybe you would know somebody who could help me." Now, my experience with psychiatrists, this is unusual, but this psychiatrist just kind of leaned back in his chair and looked him straight in the eye and said, "I recommend Jesus." Now, folks, that's where I am today. I stand here without any question. That's been, you know, the emphasis of my whole life is I recommend Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, whatever, you know, you're going through in all of your life, I can stand today without any hesitation whatsoever, unashamed, and say to you that I recommend Jesus Christ. Somewhere in the fullness of Jesus, you can find a solution and an answer. Now, a lot of people in our world today saying he's not relevant, a man who lived over 2,000 years ago, and what he thought and what he did. Society's changed, opportunities changed, convictions changed. Folks, I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He is the same God. He is a living, present-day power that is available to us today, and he is here. He's not just a man of history who came and was born and did good things and died. He's not just a man who thought great thoughts and or did great things, but he is a person, a living positive force, a power that is available to us today. And so we can recommend Jesus Christ. No matter what your need, can recommend Jesus. Now I want to recommend him to you for the reasons that Paul did in this text to begin and to start with. Number one, I recommend him first of all because he is God. And our text said he existed in the form of God. You know, kind of let that sink in. The word form there is literally who is essence of being. It is who he really is. He was God. You know, now, we see that over and over again in the Scripture. And I printed some of the Scripture so that we might do it. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In John chapter 5, it said, "For this reason the Jews were seeking more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, was also calling God his own Father and making himself equal with God." In Corinthians 4:4, it says, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God. In Colossians 1, 15 and 16, he's in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all of creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, for all things have been created by him. In Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. For God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and prophets in many ways and portions, in these last days has spoken through his Son, whom he appointed as the heir of all things, and through whom he made the world. He is the radiance of the glory of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholds all things by the word of his power, and he has made a purification of sins and sat down at the right hand of God. And in Romans chapter 11, the doxology where Paul closes, his great thesis on salvation, he is praising him, and he says, talking about from him, talking about Jesus, and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. You know, the New English Bible says that he is the source, the goal, and the guide of all that it is. It takes place there. And then Ephesians 1:10 says, talking about Jesus, that God has revealed the mystery of his will in Jesus. And it says that with a view as to the administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven or things upon the earth, are all summed up in him. Folks, you can't pick up God's word, read all of these scriptures without understanding and knowing that Jesus Christ really is God. He is the beginning. He is the creator, the one who created everything that is. And Colossians 1:17 says, "And all in him all things consist." He's the one who holds it together. In Ephesians 1:10, he is the very sum of which is all going to be brought to a conclusion and summed up together. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end. He is the source, the guide, the goal of wherever we're going. Folks, he is God. He literally was God who created this world, who sustains this world, and towards which this world is moving. So if we're going to look for somebody who can meet our needs, who knows why we were created, who knows what our heart is, who knows the depths of everything going on in our lives, who knows the great needs of our life, whether it's a need of salvation or a need just to get through and be sustained in life, where else can you turn but to the one who created us and gave us the desires and knows our heart, knows our life, knows everything that goes on within us, and he's the one who said, "I can meet your needs." So folks, I recommend Jesus because he is God. He existed in the form as God. And not only God, folks, people, we try to make gods out of all kind of things in this world. People in this world raising up all kind of gods. Millions and millions of people in our world today worship the false gods, which the scripture says are nothing more than demons. That he is the one, Jesus Christ, is the one and only true God. There is no other. And he, Jesus, is the only one who can meet our needs. And apart from him, folks, life has no meaning. Understand, apart from Christ, life really has no meaning. We just exist. We just move through one day after the next. So I recommend Jesus because he is God. Recommend him because he existed in the form of God. But then the second reason I recommend him came out of this text is I recommend him because of what he did for us. Again, we read those words. And although existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. If you read in King James Bible, it says he thought it not robbery. It was not something that he would hold upon and hold on to and was unwilling to give up. But rather, it was something that he was willing to give up. King James said he made of himself no reputation. Actually, he was not willing to hold on to that existence as God and not give it up. But he willingly gave it up. And he, emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant. The same word that is used in existing in the form of God, now he's in the form of what? Of a slave, of the servant, that it belongs to the master, to someone else. And he literally became, of the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of a man and being appeared in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. As the humble servant of God, he came into this world. He emptied himself. Now you think about what that means. It boggles my mind to think about it. God himself, Jesus Christ, God himself, we've already affirmed that with scripture after scripture. who existed as God, who created everything, who could do anything in the world he wanted to do. He could have destroyed this world and started over. He could have done anything, any way he wanted to. But God, because he loved us and because he cared about us and he wanted us to have a relationship with him, he did what was necessary in order for us to have a relationship with God. He left the realm of heaven and came into this world, took on the form of a man. That is, in the very essence, he became a man. He emptied himself of what? The reputation, the existence as the form of God. He didn't cease to be God. That's one of the greatest paradoxes of Scripture, that he became God-man at the same time, 100% God, 100% man. And he came into the world and he took on human flesh and existed in the likeness of a man, in the very form of a man, and then also in the appearance as a man. He came into this world, but he came in for a reason. You see, because when God created us, he created us to have a relationship with him, and he said we weren't to be able to sin. We would obey him. It was God's goal and plan that we live in our relationship with him. But instead, we rebelled against God. We sinned against God. And we were separated from him. And though we were created in his image, that image was marred because of that. And somebody had to pay the price of sin, because our God was a just God who demanded that sin be punished. And somebody had to pay the price. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die, but not just anybody could die. It had to be a sinless person in order to come and take our place and to die for us. And so he came into the world and literally took on the form of a man, obedient to the point of death, but not just any death. It was the death of the cross. Probably the most severe, agonizing kind of punishments that could happen physically. But it was not just the physical part that was the worst part. But when Jesus died on that cross, he literally became sin for us. He took our place. He took our hell. He literally died as our substitute, died in our place on the cross. Why? Because he did for us what we could never, ever do for ourselves. See? We were lost and perishing, dying and headed to hell. Jesus Christ came as our substitute. He came, what the Bible word is, propitiation. That is, he bore the wrath of God against sin upon his own shoulders, and therefore he justified us before God and reconciled us unto God because of what he did at the cross. See, the world is religious today. The man is just naturally religious. You know, you can go out in the middle of the jungle, people who had never seen anybody before, and they got their gods and their religious systems. There's just something innate in us that can only be fulfilled as we search out and reach out for a God. You know, we were made in the image of God. We were made for God, for fellowship with God, to unique and have a relationship with him. But that image has been defaced by sin, but we still have a longing in our heart for God. And to only be fulfilled in that relationship with God. Man in my first illustration here today said, he asked the psychiatrist, he said, I need help. I need someone, something outside of myself greater than I am. I've lost control and I don't know what is going to happen in my life. And folks, that's what we're looking for. The world is crying out there for some help, somebody outside of themselves to give us some answers and some reasons why we're here beyond ourselves, something to hold on to. And so, you know, some kind of religious play, some kind of philosophy, something that tells us life is worth living, is what we're about. You know, some kind of explanation of why I'm here and where we're going. And so, folks, I stand without hesitation today to say to you, I recommend Jesus Christ to fulfill the longing of your heart. In fact, he's the only one that can do it. I can recommend him to you because of what he did for us. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus did something for us that no one else could ever do. He left heaven's glories. He didn't hold on to that existence in heaven, but he gave it up and emptied himself, and he became a man so that we might live. And he died in order to conquer sin and the suffering and to defeat Satan. And he died so that we could have life and give our life meaning. And so I recommend Jesus because he has died for you. and for me. And then I recommend him for the third reason that Paul did this morning. I recommend him because of highly exalted position. Notice in verse 9 and 10. It says, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those are in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's understand. We see a lot in our news lately about taking the knee. I don't quite understand the message myself. I don't know whether I'm dumb or just what. I don't know what we're trying to prove. You know, with all the rebellion and against our country and our flag and all those other things, and taking the knee has taken kind of a bad impression for most Americans today. But I'm telling you, folks, there is going to come a time out there in the future, as God has planned and God has determined, when every knee is going to bow. It's not going to be bowing in rebellion, but it's going to be bowing in surrender, and we're going to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is every person in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth. That is all the heavenly beings, the seraphim, the cherubim, the angels, and all of those that are there. And everybody on the earth, from the day Adam was born until God brings the last person in this world to be born. Every one of those, every one without exception, is going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. And all of those who are under the earth, Satan and his demons and the demons of hell are all going to bow. And one day they're going to proclaim, Jesus Christ is Lord. God has given him a name that is above every name. And they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the God or for their own salvation. Folks, it is he who gives life meaning. It is he who gives life purpose and who gives us something to hold on. When we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and we bow before him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now there's coming a day and when many are going to bow because of force. They're not going to have a choice. They're going to bow before him and they're going to recognize him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's coming a day when God's going to fix all wrong. He's going to remove all rebellion. He's going to deal with all sin and all the consequences of there. A day when every knee will bow before him and all things are going to be summed up in Jesus Christ. Folks, we can guarantee that day is going to happen. No matter what else takes place, it's going to happen. But for many, that's going to be a day of force. For those who refuse today to trust Jesus Christ and bow before him, it'll be a day of force. But I tell you, it doesn't have to be, because it can happen right now. We can bow before him and we can surrender our hearts. We can surrender our lives through repentance of our sin. And through faith, we can trust him and we can say to Jesus, you're my Lord. And we can tie our lives unto him and willingly submit to him and surrender to him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I recommend him because of his highly exalted position. I believe that position today is even greater than it was when he came out of heaven to start with. Now, how can you be higher than God? I don't know. Okay. I can't all explain that. You know, he exists in the form of God and he came to this world. And yet when he went back into heaven, God said, I've given him an exalted position, one that is above all others. And I think it had to do with what he did when he came into the world and purchased our salvation and died for us. There was a uniqueness about it when he went into heaven and God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Part of that position is that when Jesus came back, he himself said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Folks, we need to understand and grasp the truth. We do not approach the Father. We cannot have a relationship with the Father unless we come through Jesus Christ. Now that is a highly exalted position. It is the only position in the world. He has been exalted and lifted up. He's been lifted up to a position, a place in heaven. He has been lifted up to a position which is the right hand of God. He's been lifted up to a place of power. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. He has been given a place of presence where he there in the very presence of God is making intercession for those who have have trusted him, and he has been given a place of provision whereby he is meeting the needs of those who will come to him and providing salvation to all who have trusted him. Folks, I recommend him to you because of the highly exalted position when he returned to heaven, and we look and face the future. As we look at the book of Revelations, there's coming a day when we're going to recognize and realize who Jesus is. And in Revelations chapter 4, there was a scene in heaven which opened up. And it said in verse 8 that the four and the living creatures, each one of them having six wings and full of eyes within, day and night, they did not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." That is, who's the creator, the sustainer, and the goal of all that is coming and is everything that is there. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are you, the Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and because of your will they exist and were created." And you imagine the exalted position that Jesus has, where he was lifted above everything else and every other creature. And everything else in all of the celestial beings and all of those things will bow before him, because indeed he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings above everything. And folks, there's coming a day when we will bow before him. But the cry today is, and the pleading of the Holy Spirit is, to come and surrender your heart and your life to Jesus today. Let him be your Lord today. Bow the knee before Jesus Christ. Then I move from the text to simply my personal experience. Folks, I recommend him to you because of personal experience. Now, to be honest with you, this coming March, I'll be 70 years old. I've been bothered by that, okay? Started looking back at my life and realized that I really am getting old. Then I start thinking about my life and how good it's been. Since I was 20 years old, I've been pastoring Baptist churches or involved in full-time ministry. This November will be 50 years. I'll tell you something, God's been good to me. He's given my life meaning, given my life direction. He's met every need of our heart and life through the way. As a 15-year-old boy, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I'd been in church all my life, but I was saved when I was a teenager. Right before I got my driver's license, that's the reason I know I was 15 at the time. He's walked with me ever since. Been a living Lord. I failed him so miserably. I failed him. I feel the sense of that failure in my own life today. As I face the difficulties of my own kids, I face difficulty in this church. I'm disturbed. We've got 30-some people here today, and I feel like I've been a miserable failure as a pastor and a leader in this church because things just aren't going the way they ought to be going. I feel that misery and that failure. I tell you something, though, God has been good. And God is good. God has not failed us, and he has not let us down. And he's walked with us side by side every day. As I face the death of my first wife, and I face the rebellion of my kids, and I face one tragedy after the other, I'll tell you something, God, Jesus Christ has been there to walk me through. I always know that no matter what happens, nothing in this world matters. We don't have to fear what happens in this world, what people can do to us, what man can do to us. We only have to fear what God can do. And folks, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is worthy to be trusted. He's the only one who can get us through. He's the only one who can help us and sustain us and walk with us as the living Lord. And I'm grateful. I don't know why God did, but God reached down in my life and said, "I want you to serve me for all of your life." And folks, I'm telling you, I can recommend Jesus Christ to you because he's always been there. And he always will be there for you. I recommend him to you. Whether you're 9 or 90, whether you're young with the innocence, or whether you're stained with years of sin, folks, Jesus is here, and he's available. And I reckon to you, you can experience him today by repenting of your sin, turning your back upon the world, and trusting him as Savior and Lord. And you'll find it. He's worth trusting. He is indeed the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and God has given him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I encourage you today to surrender to Him. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. I'd like for you to think just for a moment before we come to the invitation. Are you absolutely certain in your life that you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? That there's no question that you know Him and trusted Him? Most of you do. There's a spirit of Christ in your heart. He'll give you the assurance and the goal that He really is here, that you know Him. But we recognize that in our own lives. And if you realize and have doubts and struggles with that, then you need to settle it today. And you just, you know, it comes through surrender to say, Lord, I take my hands off my life and I trust You. I surrender to You as Lord of Lords. I bow my knee before You and proclaim You as my Lord. That's when salvation happens. If you've never made that decision, you need to make it today. I'm not talking about joining church and doing all the religious things. I'm talking about really trusting Christ. Have you done that? Do you know that beyond any doubt? And then as a child of God, maybe we do know we've been saved, but we know that in our lives we're trying to do a lot of things on our own and run our lives, and there are things that are not surrendered to Him and to His control. In the quietness moment, as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, what are the things that need to be surrendered to Him? I ask you to give it to Him today. If you want to come talk to me, fine. If not, you may just want to come kneel at this altar, whatever. But just simply to say, I bow my knee before You, Lord Jesus. And with my tongue, I confess You as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I want to get right with You. I want to be where You want me to be. Maybe you're going through some struggle in your heart, in your life, and you don't know how you're going to get through it. Don't know what you're going to do about it. Well, I'll tell you, Jesus is the answer. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you wisdom. Just walk every day by trusting Him, and He'll meet your need. Will you do what God wants you to do today? Father, draw us to Yourself this morning. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.